Right, we're back again. Who said that? Praise God. So I don't know, for the sake of the recording, I hope you'll bear with me as we start this again. And I think I did. I'm not sure. It's recording. Right. Okay, so praise God. Father, we just pray for your blessing upon the word. We pray that you would anoint us. Okay, we just hang up. Maybe we, there's a problem.
Hey, Brian, I'll put you where you can hear the message, huh?
Yeah, okay. Hi, Brian, just hold on and you'll be right there. We're just about to start, okay? Praise God. Hi everyone. We're having a few technical difficulties, but we're about to start this morning. So we ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would bless us and minister to us, and Lord, that you would anoint this time of fellowship and blessing. So Father, we pray that your word would give us encouragement, hope, strength, and that would change our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. I started off by saying that praise and worship is a passion of my heart. And it's something that is so incredibly important. And, some people have very different attitudes towards praise and worship in the church. They kind of think, this is not really important. It's just the singing and the songs that appear before the main event when you get the word. It's not a big deal. It just precludes the main event. You know, that's all that they're here for. It's not an issue. Some people even told me, hey, I don't even come for the singing. I just come for the word. If they really understood what the word taught, they would be there for the praise and the worship because it's such an important part. God views things very differently to these kind of folk. And in fact, Deuteronomy 28 verses 47 gives us an insight about what God thinks of praise. It's his perspective. Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read it to you from the Living Bible, because it is so expressive and it's so very clear. Deuteronomy 28 verses 47 says this, "And you will become slaves to your enemies because of your failure to praise God for all that he has given you." Wow, that is a big statement. God says you'll be taken into captivity. You'll go into bondage because you haven't praised the Lord for all he's given you. Gratitude is a very important part of the Christian walk. It goes on to say that the Lord will send your enemies against you, and you will go hungry, thirsty, naked, and in want of everything. A yoke of iron shall be placed around your neck until you are destroyed. I don't know what's happened here, Fee. Are you doing anything on that? Yeah, well, I don't know whether we're recording, but I'm just going to have to press on as it is. So, what I derive from that particular scripture is that God has praise issues. God enjoys praise. He wants us to praise him, and he's not pleased with those who don't praise him. Under the Old Testament, praise was vital. Your life depended on it, your prosperity and well-being, and even your freedom. What this tells me is that praise is important to God. It is a vital issue. It is a biggie. God requires us to praise him. And yet so many people just have this casual, lackadaisical view of praise. These people say, well, but that's under the curse of the law. That's true. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, but not from our obligation to praise him, because even in the New Testament, we are required to praise the Lord. God may not punish us for praising anymore because Christ has borne our punishment, but he still desires the fact that we praise him. He loves our praise. He enjoys our praise. And it's one of the few things that we can actually do for the Lord. We find this obligation repeated over and over in many different ways in the New Covenant and the New Testament. In fact, Romans 15:11 says again, and notice that whole idea again. So Paul's been talking about this, and now he wants to repeat it. He says, "Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people." So we are commanded to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. It's not an optional extra. It is something that we are required by the Lord to be involved in. Again, Hebrews 13:15, again in the New Covenant, by him, by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, the giving thanks to his name. God expects praise. He likes it. And it's important that we see that. Understand this in perspective. This is a major thing. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the story about the salvation of mankind. Salvation is the dominant prevailing theme. It's one of the most important doctrines in the scripture. But did you know the word saved appears 221 times in the scriptures? By contrast, the word praise is mentioned 620 times, three times as one of the most significant doctrines in the Bible. This tells me that praise is an incredibly vital issue in the church, that God is actually saying praise is a major doctrine. So praise is powerful. If we understand the power of praise, we'll understand what God wants to do in our life. Psalm 29 and verse 2 says this: give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Command, we commanded to praise the Lord. Give him glory, the glory that's due his name. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Do you remember in Acts chapter 4, there was a time when they just healed the man at the gate beautiful. This notable miracle had taken place, and it had created such a furore, such an uproar, that the disciples were actually arrested and thrown into prison. They were threatened and charged not to preach in the name of Jesus. Things were looking pretty bad: persecution, beating, imprisonment. But when they left, the Bible says they returned praising God. This is an amazing thing. Then they start to pray. They started to pray that God would give them signs and wonders at the proclaiming of the word. And while they're actually praying, the building in which they were praying is shaken. Praise is really a powerful thing if we really understand what God gets out of praise. God enjoys that whole concept. Praise brings the glory, it brings the power, and it brings the presence of God. Praise gets God's attention. Praise is powerful. If you ever need right now, start to praise him. Watch God work, because he shows up when we praise. Praise brings God. God brings power, and miracles happen. The power is in God's presence, and praise brings God's presence. You see, remember the story of Jehoshaphat back in the Old Testament? A combined force of many nations had mobilized, and they were marching against Jerusalem. Talk about a terrorist attack. This was totally unprovoked, unwarranted. It was hostile aggression. Jehoshaphat was unprepared, outnumbered, and outmaneuvered. He very quickly found himself in a place of emotional and spiritual turmoil. We would say he's in a world of pain today, because he's really struggling. And he says to the Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. And in our words, we'd say, I can't handle this. This is way too much. God, what's up? They were fresh out of ideas. They were perplexed. They were confused. They were at their wits' end. God was going to teach them what to do when you don't know what to do. That is time to praise the Lord. Sooner or later, we're going to find ourselves in exactly the same situation that Jehoshaphat found himself. We're going to find ourselves, circumstances are overwhelming us. There are dire consequences that result of that. And we're going to feel at our wits' end. That is the time that we need to praise God especially. That's what happened when the disciples praised God and were released. Signs and wonders started to manifest after that. So it's really important. Sooner or later, we're going to find ourselves in the same predicament. Historically, contextually, they looked around and realized what was happening with this invading arm. They stood to lose absolutely everything. It was a financial meltdown. They stood to lose their homes, their lands, their livestock, and maybe even their lives. Financial ruin, slavery, or even death awaited them. That's pretty big pressure. This was a crisis of unprecedented proportions. Impending calamity was happening. They were dealing with fear, worry, anxiety, and stress. Their whole world was falling apart. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean to say that you are immune from the attacks of the enemy. Most of you know that because you've served the Lord a long time. But God is there in the midst of our battles. He's there helping us. So what are you going to do when your world comes crashing in? I hope now you're going to learn to praise the Lord and praise him with a whole heart, praise him vigorously. What did God do for Israel? What God always does. He gave them a word. He gave them a promise. The battle is not yours, but mine. You won't have to fight. Stand and see the salvation of God. Now, Israel faces the same choice as we do, to doubt or to believe. You know, those are tough issues, and this is exactly what Israel had to choose to do. Are you going to be overcome by your circumstances, or are you going to believe God? With his back against the wall, Jehoshaphat believed God and started a praise party. They praised their way all the way to victory. Second Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 21 is where the story is outlined. And I want to just show you something here. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, when I was in the army and we made contact with the enemy, there was a very vital principle that we were taught. The principle was this: you hit the enemy with maximum firepower. You hit them with all you have. What you didn't want is one person opening up and firing a couple of shots and the enemy taking cover and then everybody else coming in. So the principle was when you want to attack the enemy, you hit him with everything, with all you have, and it's the maximum firepower. You win the firefight. That's the terminology that they talk about. And you hit them before the enemy can react. It's no different in the army of God. Praise went before the army in Jehoshaphat's day. That was no coincidence. God is trying to teach the church something. Praise is our most effective weapon against the enemy. Praise is a very, very powerful and effective weapon against the enemy. When we praise God, the enemy is devastated. So keep praising. Praise God and keep praising God, and you will see God's victory. Notice verse 22. And let me back up to 21. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And verse 22 is critical. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush. Did you notice that? When they began to praise, God began to work. When they began to praise, the Lord set forth the ambushments. If you read the text very carefully, you'll see that all of Jerusalem and Judah believed that God would save them. They believed, they prayed, and nothing happened. How often do we find ourselves in that situation? But the text says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. You need to pray, you need to believe, but you also need to praise, because that was the thing that triggered God's reaction. So they believed, nothing happened until they started praising God. Praise is an act of faith. Praise releases the power of God. Praise is the language of believers. That's what we need to know and understand. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believing, you shall receive them. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Praise is the outworking of your faith. Praise is the outworking of what you believe. As Judah began to praise, God took down the enemy. It was a slam dunk. God began to move straight away as they began to praise. And it took them 3 whole days to pick up the spoil, the treasure, everything that the enemies had brought with them, their weapons, their everything, their riches. They had money on them. And it took them 3 whole days to collect the treasure. That's an amazing amount of spoil that they had to retrieve. And it began because they praised the Lord. God blessed them in an incredible way. Let me just say to you, praise is a powerful weapon. Let me ask you the question, how much time in the week do you devote to praising God? I believe that there's a correlation between the time that we praise God and God's presence in our life, because God inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is a powerful weapon. And the moment we start praising, God starts to show up. Look at Psalm 149, verse 6. This is a really powerful piece of scripture. It says this, Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Did you see that? God is showing us what's happening to the enemy when we start to praise. With the two-edged sword is a reference to the word of God. So when we've got the word of God in our lives and we're praising the Lord, what happens is the enemy is bound. We take their captives in chains of iron and their nobles with fetters of chains. So it's really important. That's the power of praise. It binds the enemy. If we only practice this more in our life, if we only praise God more, we'd find that there's a level of freedom and rejoicing and blessing that comes our way. So praise binds the enemy. Let's learn the lesson. Francis Metcalfe said this, praise unlocks heaven's portals. Praise causes doubts to cease. Praise brings precious blessings. Praise leaves the sweetest peace. Praise breaks all bands asunder. Praise sets the captives free. Praise lightens every burden. Praise is the master key. You know, the truth is we need to be kettle Christians. You think, what on earth is a kettle Christian? Well, when you're up to your neck in hot water, praise. That's what a kettle Christian is. So praising God in the midst of adversity is such an important thing because it binds the enemy and we begin to walk in victory. There's another important principle that I want to share with you this morning about praising God, and it's found in Numbers, and we'll get to that in a moment. But let me give you some background information about this actual account. You know, Israel's wandering in the desert. It's hot and boiling. The sun is burning down. It's dry. It's dusty. If you've ever been in a desert, you'll know that life's pretty difficult at those times. And they've been wandering in the desert for a long time. They're parched. They're dehydrated. Their tongues are swollen and their lips are cracked and bleeding. They're getting desperate at this point. Water is a life-threatening issue in the desert. If you don't get it, you die. All around you are the fallen carcasses and the bleached bones of those who died in the desert. I want you just for a second to put yourself in the place of those in Israel. Sure, they'd escaped from slavery, but they're homeless. They're wandering around the desert. Their supplies are nearly exhausted, and they're dying of thirst. They thought following God would be a piece of cake. They thought following the Lord would be easy. Israel's discovering that following God has its trials and difficulties, as you and I will. But the truth is that God is with us in the midst of those difficult situations. What did God do for Israel in this particular time? What he always does. He gave them a word, a promise. Numbers 21 and verse 16. Numbers 21 and verse 16. The Lord spake unto Moses, said, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye to it. Verse 18. The princes dig the well, and the nobles of the people digged it. You got to know it's pretty desperate when the nobles and the princes are actually digging for water. They were taking their turn because they were absolutely desperate. That's a mark of desperation when these people get involved. So they're digging this hole. The dust is flying everywhere, rocks and stones. And the scripture says, sing to it. Sing to it. Sing to what? Sing to the dirt. Sing. It's a principle that God wants us to learn. And it's that praise precedes the miracle. Praise before the provision. Praise the dirt, because God's going to give you water. So it's singing before the miracle. They're releasing their faith in God. Moses is saying to the people, go to the promise and praise. Go to the promise and sing to it. Many people say, I'll praise God. I'm happy to praise God as soon as I get the answer to my prayer, as soon as it happens. If we get water, yes, I'll praise God. But this is teaching us, no, we are to sing to the sand, sing to the fact that his praise really triggered everything. Nothing was happening until they started to praise. Praise is hard. Praise when it's hard. Praise me in the desert, God is saying. Praise in the difficult places. When you feel like giving up, praise the Lord. Praise in the dark times. When you feel like swearing, praise the Lord instead. When you feel like fighting, praise. When you feel like going to the pub, praise. When you feel empty, depressed, defeated, praise the Lord. This is their principle. As long as you can't sing to the sand, you'll never see God's provision. God is saying he needs people who will sing to the sand, will praise him for the provision on the strength of the promise. God wants us to sing to the sand, to praise for the provision on the strength of the promise, because God is faithful. He is watching over his word, waiting to perform. You can trust in the Lord. There has not failed one word of all his good promises. God is saying, you magnify me, and I will manifest. You praise me, and I will perform, not the other way around. The disciples praised and got their signs and wonders. Judah praised and was delivered from the enemy. Israel praised and got water in the desert. Joshua praised, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Paul and Silas praised, and their prison doors were open. Praise is the master key to the power of God. Find your promise and start praising God for the answer. Come on, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with the understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He's worthy of praise. Make God's praise glorious in your life. Sing unto God. Sing praises. Praise ye the Lord. It'll bring down the walls that are surrounding you. It'll open prison doors, and signs and wonders will begin to flow in your life. Praise him for the promise. See the power of God at work in your life. I want to encourage you this week, really make it an issue of praise, because it's so important to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the truths that we've been able to see this morning. Lord, help us to sing to the sand. Help us to praise before the provision. Help us to understand that that's the principle, that you are faithful. You are just waiting. You're watching over your word, waiting to perform it. So, Lord, help us to be a people of praise. Help us to be a fellowship of praise. May we be excited, ready, willing, and able to praise you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Bless us, Lord, as we pray now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let me just see if I can stop this recording. Stop this.